With all this talk about the Asbury Revival, it's got me thinking about revival movements in general. What is it about them? Where else are they happening? I feel like a door's been open, and now I just want to see what's inside.
It is interesting, isn't it, Tad, how one event can spark so much curiosity. And you're right, the Asbury Revival is just one small part of a much bigger picture. These revival movements, these periods of really intense spiritual energy and renewal, they've shown up over and over again throughout history, and they're happening all over the world right now.
That's what I'm hoping we can kind of unpack today, a deep dive into revival movements around the world. I've got a ton of articles and research here, but I'm really looking forward to getting your insights on all this.
Absolutely. I think we can start with the historical roots, see where these movements are happening today, and even how technology is shaping the whole thing.
Okay, so before we jump into what's going on now, Plant, can we rewind a little bit? Give me some historical context. Where does this whole idea of revival movements come from?
Well, in Christianity, revival movements have a long and pretty complex history. I guess one of the most famous examples is the Great Awakenings. These swept through America in the 18th and 19th centuries. Now, these were times of intense religious feeling, but they also had a big impact on society as a whole. For example, the Second Great Awakening in the 1800s. It actually contributed to the rise of abolitionist movements, which just goes to show how powerful these revivals can be in sparking social change.
So it's not just about personal spiritual transformation. These movements can actually ripple outward and impact the culture in pretty big ways. That's fascinating.
Right, exactly. And if we look at these historical examples, you can see a pattern emerging. Revivals tend to spring up during times of change or upheaval in society. Think about it. Times of uncertainty, anxiety, and fast transformation. Well, they create the perfect conditions for spiritual seeking.
I can definitely see how that relates to the world today. Globalization, political polarization, climate crisis. It does feel like we're living in a time of constant change and disruption. So I guess it's not surprising that people are looking for something to hold on to, something to give them meaning and hope.
That's a great point. And what's really interesting is how revivals look different around the world, reflecting the culture and social context of each region. What do you think? Should we take a quick global tour?
Yeah, let's do it. Where should we start?
Let's start with North America, Sarah, where, of course, the Asbury Revival has taken center stage. But even beyond that, there's a trend here toward these large gatherings and conferences, a real hunger for experiences that are more than just the traditional Sunday service.
What do you think is driving that? Is it just that people want something with more emotion?
I think it goes deeper than that. These events offer people a sense of community, a shared energy, a feeling of being part of something bigger than themselves. Sociologists actually call this collective effervescence, that feeling of excitement and unity that comes from being in a crowd, especially when everyone has a shared purpose or belief.
So it's a spiritual and social phenomenon at the same time, feeding off the energy of the group.
Exactly. Now, if we head south to South America, we see a different picture. Here, Pentecostal and evangelical denominations have been growing like crazy, particularly in countries facing tough socioeconomic challenges.
I've read that these movements really emphasize personal experience.
Things like miracles, healing, speaking in tongues, is that right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking in tongues, also known as glossolalia, is when people make sounds and syllables. They sound unintelligible to anyone else, but they believe it's a divine language given to them by the Holy Spirit.
That's a powerful concept, this direct personal connection with God. It seems to really resonate with people, especially in places where traditional religious structures feel distant or out of touch.
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. Now, how about we jump across the ocean to Africa? Here we find these megachurches with huge reach, but also smaller grassroots movements embedded in local communities.
I'm curious about those smaller movements. What sets them apart from the bigger, more organized churches?
These grassroots movements usually come about naturally from within specific communities, responding to the immediate needs and concerns of the people right there. They might focus on things like poverty, healthcare, or education. And they use faith as a driving force for social change.
So in that way, faith is more than just personal comfort. It's a way to take action. Let's keep going on our trip. Where to next?
Let's go to Asia, where things get even more interesting. You see, in many Asian countries, Christianity isn't the main religion. So you get a lot of these underground movements, often operating in secret and facing possible persecution.
So the stakes are much higher in these places. What makes people embrace their faith so strongly, even with those risks?
It's a testament to the power of belief. For these communities, faith isn't just a set of rules or beliefs. It's a lifeline, a source of strength and resilience in the face of adversity.
That resilience is incredible. Okay, last stop on our tour, Europe. We often hear about how Europe is becoming more and more secular. Are there any signs of these revival movements in that environment?
Europe might not have revivals on the same scale as other regions, but there are pockets of spiritual renewal happening, especially in cities. These movements often have a different feel. They focus on social justice issues, environmental concerns, or just a longing for authentic connection in increasingly individualistic societies.
So it's less about those fiery sermons and more about finding meaning and purpose in a world that can feel quite secular.
Exactly. And what's interesting is how these movements often take inspiration from many sources. They blend Christian teachings with ideas from other spiritual traditions or even secular philosophies.
This global tour has been really eye-opening. It seems like revival movements are so diverse, adapting to different cultures, addressing different needs. But even with those differences, are there common threads that tie these movements together, no matter where they are or what form they take?
That's a great question, and it brings us to the core of what makes these movements work. Let's look at what goes into making a revival movement successful.
I'm ready. What's the secret formula?
Well, one key ingredient is having a charismatic leader. These movements almost always have a figurehead, someone who can inspire and motivate people and articulate a vision that truly resonates with them.
So it's more than just being a good public speaker. There's a certain charisma and ability to connect with people emotionally and get them excited, like Martin Luther King Jr. or Mahatma Gandhi. They weren't religious leaders in the traditional sense, but they had that ability to inspire movements.
That's a great comparison. You could say these leaders are like spiritual entrepreneurs. They have a talent for tapping into that yearning for something more, whether it's change, healing, or just a sense of belonging.
So a strong leader can be a catalyst, but it takes more than just one person to make a movement last. What else is important?
You're absolutely right. That's where community engagement comes in. Revivals thrive when they offer people a sense of belonging, a shared purpose that goes beyond just their individual spiritual experience.
Yeah.
Take those huge gatherings at Asbury, for example. It's not just about individuals praying. It's about being surrounded by others who are feeling the same things, sharing the same energy.
Right, that collective effervescence we talked about before. It's powerful for building bonds and creating a sense of shared identity.
Exactly. But to be truly successful, a revival movement needs to be aware of the culture it's in. It has to tailor its message and approach to resonate with the values and needs of the community it's trying to reach.
So you can't just use a one-size-fits-all approach. A movement that works in a rural community in the American South might not have the same impact in a big European city.
Precisely. What attracts a younger generation might not resonate with an older crowd. And what works in a culture that values emotional expression might not work somewhere more reserved.
This is fascinating. It's like these movements are always changing, evolving, to stay relevant and connect with people where they are.
Exactly. To see how these ingredients work in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at some specific examples of modern revival movements. Shall we start with the one that got this whole conversation going? The Asbury Revival.
Yes. Let's go deeper into that. I'm ready to see what's really going on.
The Asbury Revival is interesting because it's not a totally new thing for that place. Asbury University actually has a history of these spontaneous revivals, going back to the 1970s.
Oh, wow. So this current one is building on something that was already there. I guess that makes sense, considering how quickly it seems to have caught everyone's attention.
That's right. And this time, social media has really helped to spread it. Videos of the services, people sharing their stories, it's all gone viral, bringing people from all over to see it for themselves. Do you think it plays into that fear of missing out? Like there's something amazing happening and you don't want to be left behind.
It wouldn't surprise me. But beyond all the hype, the Asbury Revival has those key elements we were talking about. It's rooted in student-led worship. There's a strong emphasis on personal confession and repentance. And a real desire to return to what they see as the core of the Christian faith.
It's like they're getting rid of all the extra stuff and focusing on the heart of their faith. I can see why that would appeal to people, especially in a world that feels so complicated and overwhelming.
Absolutely. Now, let's zoom out again and look at Pentecostalism, which we mentioned earlier. It's not just big in South America. It's truly global. We see it growing in Africa, Asia, parts of Europe, and North America as well.
What do you think is behind that global reach?
Well, it embodies those core ingredients we discussed. Charismatic leaders, a strong sense of community, and adaptability to different cultures. But on top of that, Pentecostalism has this unique draw, its emphasis on what they call charismatic experiences.
Right, those direct experiential elements of faith. Speaking in tongues, prophecy, divine healing. Things that offer a tangible connection to the spiritual realm.
Exactly. These practices are very appealing, especially in cultures where traditional religious institutions might feel distant or disconnected from people's everyday lives.
It seems to offer a more immediate, visceral connection to the divine. Okay, so we've got these big, globally connected movements like Pentecostalism, but what about the revivals that are happening on a smaller, more local level?
That's where you find some really unique and inspiring examples. Let's take indigenous revival movements, for instance. They often get overlooked when talking about global trends.
Oh, I'm interested to hear about that. What makes these indigenous movements different?
Well, they often blend traditional practices with Christian beliefs. Imagine communities incorporating their ancestral rituals, their songs, their understanding of nature, into their expression of Christianity.
Wow, that's a powerful image. It challenges the idea that Christianity has to look the same everywhere.
Exactly. These movements show how adaptable faith can be, its ability to take root in different places and grow in unique ways.
I love that analogy. It's not about imposing a prepackaged set of beliefs. It's about weaving Christianity into the fabric of their existing culture.
And it's important to remember that these indigenous revivals are often connected to struggles for social justice, land rights, and cultural preservation. Faith becomes a source of strength and resilience in the face of oppression or marginalization.
That's incredibly inspiring. It's a reminder that revival isn't always just about personal salvation. It can be a force for collective liberation. Now, we can't talk about modern revival movements without talking about technology. It's everywhere.
You're absolutely right. From the Asbury revival going viral to pastors live streaming their sermons, technology is changing the way people experience faith in really profound ways.
So how exactly is technology influencing these movements?
Well, think about social media. Platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, they become incredibly powerful tools for spreading the word, sharing messages, and connecting believers across huge distances.
It's like having a megaphone for your faith. You can reach millions of people with a single post or video.
Exactly. Revival movements can now spread their message, build communities, and mobilize people in ways that were impossible just a few decades ago.
It's like the digital age has turbocharged these movements.
And then there's live streaming, which has totally changed how people experience religious services. You can attend a service in another country, listen to a famous preacher, participate in a prayer meeting, all from your own home.
So faith becomes incredibly accessible. It breaks down those geographical barriers. You don't need to physically be in a particular place to feel connected.
That's true. But that ease of access also comes with challenges. How do you create genuine connection online? How do you stop misinformation or manipulation from spreading in these online communities? These are the questions revival movements are grappling with right now.
It sounds like technology is a double-edged sword. It can amplify the reach and impact of these movements, but it also brings up new ethical questions. It's a lot to figure out.
Absolutely. And speaking of challenges, it's important to acknowledge that no movement, especially one focused on faith, exists without its fair share of obstacles and criticism.
Right. Time to be realistic. What kind of pushback do these movements face?
Well, one common source of resistance is from established religious institutions. They often see these new energetic movements as a threat to their authority and traditions.
It's that classic tension between the old guard and the new wave, each with their own interpretation of faith and how it should be practiced.
And that tension can lead to some serious conflicts. Theological disagreements, power struggles, arguments over resources.
It seems like any movement that starts to gain momentum faces that challenge. They have to figure out leadership, deal with internal disagreements, and stay unified when facing opposition.
You've hit the nail on the head. And then there's the skepticism from society in general. Not everyone buys into the revival hype. In a world that's becoming more and more secular, there's a lot of suspicion toward anything that seems overly emotional or ecstatic.
I get that. Some people might see these movements as being out of touch or even manipulative.
Right. And that skepticism can show up in the media, in public conversations, even in personal relationships. Revival movements often find themselves having to defend what they do and why they do it.
So they're under scrutiny from all sides. It seems like being open and accountable is crucial for them to maintain their credibility.
Absolutely. They need to be able to handle that scrutiny and address valid concerns if they want people to trust them. Now, thinking about all of that, let's look ahead. What might the future hold for revival movements?
Okay, time for some predictions. What trends do you see emerging that could shape the future of faith?
One trend that's gaining traction is interfaith collaboration. We're seeing more and more faith communities realizing they have shared values and working together on common goals.
That's interesting. It seems counterintuitive, considering how often religious groups are divided by their beliefs.
It is a shift, but maybe it reflects a growing understanding that we all face similar challenges. Poverty, injustice, climate change. Maybe tackling these problems requires putting aside those differences and working together for the greater good.
It's a powerful idea, choosing unity over division, especially when facing these big global issues. What other trends are you noticing?
Another interesting development is the rise of what some call new spiritualities. It's less about sticking to a rigid set of rules and more about creating your own personalized faith, drawing inspiration from different sources.
So it's like a spiritual buffet, picking and choosing what resonates with you to create your own unique set of beliefs and practices.
In a way, yes. People are blending ancient wisdom with modern insights, traditional practices with contemporary sensibilities. And there's often a focus on experiential elements like mindfulness, meditation, and connecting with nature.
I can see how that would appeal to people who are disillusioned with organized religion, but still have that longing for something spiritual. It's about forging your own path.
Exactly. And we can't forget about the impact of globalization and migration. The world is becoming more and more connected, with people moving across borders like never before.
I imagine that has to have some effect on how faith is expressed and experienced.
It's already happening. We're seeing multicultural and multi-ethnic congregations popping up, blending different languages, customs, musical traditions. It's like a spiritual melting pot, creating new and vibrant expressions of faith.
It reminds us that faith isn't static. It's always evolving, adapting to new environments, embracing diversity. Considering all these trends, what does this mean for the future of revival movements?
That's the million-dollar question. I think one of the biggest challenges and also one of the biggest opportunities for these movements is figuring out how to connect with younger generations who are increasingly skeptical of traditional religious structures.
So do you think they need to change their message, change their methods, change their whole approach to appeal to a generation that's grown up in a digital world, a generation with completely different expectations?
Absolutely. This generation wants authenticity, transparency. They want a faith that engages with the complexities of the world and isn't afraid to address the tough questions.
So it's not about delivering those fiery sermons anymore. It's about having real conversations, allowing space for doubt and questions, and showing that faith can be a force for good in the world.
Exactly. It's about meeting people where they are, speaking their language, and demonstrating that faith can be relevant, meaningful, and even life-changing in the 21st century.
This has been an incredible conversation. We've covered so much ground, from the history of revival movements to what's shaping their future.
It's been a whirlwind tour, but I hope you have a better understanding of this complex and ever-changing landscape now.
I definitely do, but I feel like this is just the start. There's still so much to discover and so many questions to think about.
And that's the beauty of it. The exploration never really ends. And now it's time to turn inward and reflect on what all of this means for you personally. So to wrap things up, I want to leave you with a thought-provoking question.
You know, as we've been talking about these global revival movements, I've been thinking, are we seeing any of this happening right here in our own neighborhoods and cities?
That's a really good question. Maybe there's a new community project or growing interest in different faiths working together. It could even be a subtle shift in how people are looking for meaning and connection. It's worth paying attention to those little changes around us.
I know. It makes me wonder about the challenges the world's facing right now, like climate change, political divisions, social injustices. Could revival movements, with their focus on community and compassion, could they help us tackle these issues?
That's an interesting thought. Revivals have been known to drive social change throughout history. They get people motivated, inspire action, challenge the way things are. But, you know, they can also turn inward, focusing only on personal salvation instead of making a difference in the world. So it really depends on how they choose to interact with the world around them.
So it's not guaranteed that they'll bring positive change. It's about how they choose to use that energy, whether they look outward to the needs of the community and the world.
Exactly. And that's where each of us has to decide for ourselves. We have to think critically about these movements, ask questions, and consider if they're helping create a fairer, more compassionate, and sustainable world.
That's a good point. Wow, this deep dive has been incredibly insightful. I feel like I have a much better understanding of revival movements now. their history, the different forms they take, the challenges they face, and their amazing potential.
It's been great exploring this with you. Remember, this is just the start. There are so many stories, so much to learn, and so many things to think about.
Yeah, so much to think about. So as we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners? Any words of wisdom you want to leave them with?
Keep exploring. Keep asking questions. Listen with an open mind and an open heart. And most importantly, keep the conversation going.
Well said. And listeners, if you come across any interesting examples of revival movements, whether it's in your community or somewhere else, we'd love to hear about them. We're always looking to learn more and share those discoveries with everyone.
Until next time, keep searching.